Good evening. I was asked to give the message tonight with the hope that I may be able to provide some thoughts on my impression of Good Friday, having not been a Christian as long as many of you. I am relatively new to the faith, having only professed my commitment to Christ 5 years ago. The sweeping conversion from agnosticism or atheism to a Christian worldview entails a changed perspective on many subjects. One of the hardest truths of this conversion is the profoundly different view on our sin nature and the acknowledgement of the offenses we have repeatedly committed against God. Prior to my acceptance of Christ, I had lived as most non-believers do, with no real feeling of indebtedness to anyone, let alone a higher power. But as Christians, we understand the worldly debts we owe financially and emotionally to fellow human beings are incomparable to the weight of the transgressions we've committed against our Creator. We know this because of the moral framework that God has provided and has been laid before us as Christians. In contrast, non-believers attempt to establish their own morality, relying on a cultural relativism mixed with their individual sense of right and wrong, with a dash of situational exemptions when convenient. Because non-believers presume they have created their own morality, they delude themselves into thinking they are morally perfect all the time. Gray areas pervade, and ultimately the highest power is oneself, a very pleasant state, albeit an incorrect and arrogant one. Ostensibly, non-believers carry no weight of sin, carry no care for Christ. It would be nice to believe that at least all professing Christians have a clear understanding of sin and the atonement that is therefore needed. However, the current state of the church has shown us that is not necessarily the case. Denny gave a Good Friday message a few years ago where he cited H. Richard Niebuhr's quote on the liberal church. Niebuhr wrote, "A God without wrath brought men without sin into a kingdom without judgment through the ministrations of a Christ without a cross." What I find amazing is how well this sentiment describes moralistic therapeutic deism prevalent in today's churches. And Niebuhr wrote that in 1937. Moralistic therapeutic deists, who often would imagine they are Christians, have a distorted approach to Christianity that disregards guilt for their sins and assumes a grandfatherly loving God would be pleased if they are generally nice to others. They like to imagine they don't have a sin problem. They treat Jesus as a helpful moral teacher rather than a savior. If that is the case, what need for atonement would such a so-called Christian have? The need, or lack thereof, would be equivalent to that of a non-believer. Christ's death on the cross would not simply be cheapened, but disregarded, likely ignored to avoid the suffering so evident in Jesus' crucifixion. The Orthodox Christian perspective, however, is very different. God has given us an objective morality to live by, and we all fall short. There are no gray areas. We cannot simply be good enough. Offenses have no threshold for being overlooked by God. God is aware of each and every transgression, and there is no statute of limitations. Therefore, there is a very apparent debt of sin that we all have before God. God's holiness and perfect justice demand repayment for these sins. How convenient would it be if we could offset this debt on our own? But it is impossible, or it is important to understand that we cannot. As Wendell has pointed out in his sermons on the atonement, the offense is all the more severe as the dignity of the one offended increases. The smallest of sins is infinitely offensive to the holiness, purity, and dignity of God. Therefore, there is no legal tender to remove our sins. Gold bars and precious stones have no value, and good works and charity are like filthy rags. We are helpless to overcome the seriousness of our sin problem on our own. To make the transition from a non-believer to a believer, from spurious lawmaker to wretched lawbreaker, entails an acceptance of several hard truths. Namely, I've committed offense upon offense against the perfect Almighty God. My relationship with God has been severed by my sinful actions. My greatest efforts would still woefully fail to reconcile me to God, and I therefore need a Savior to rescue me from the eternal damnation that I deserve. Grave and saddening news that it is, it's not the end of the story. Romans 6:23 states it plainly for us. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Thanks be to God, we enjoy the gospel, the good news that God has provided the gift of eternal life through Christ Jesus. What God's justice demanded, God's love provided. We are here tonight on Good Friday, commemorating the betrayal, crucifixion, and death of Jesus Christ, our Savior. We know that Jesus has interceded for us, performing an inconceivable sacrifice of the purest love to propitiate our sins, and that this sacrifice allows us to be brought back into right standing before God and enjoy an eternity in his presence. Had Jesus not lived among us and suffered, we would have no salvation. His sinless and perfect humanity, paired with his divinity, allowed him to be the only one capable of interceding on our behalf. Jesus was able to propitiate our sins, not simply because he assumed humanity and died, but because he suffered on multiple levels as he carried out this greatest act of love. As Denny reminded us in his prior Good Friday message, grace may be free, but it isn't cheap. Jesus was flogged, slapped, beaten, and mocked by officials and countrymen. He was forced to carry the very cross on which he was to die. His wrists and ankles were pierced. He suffered for hours before dying in agonizing death on the cross. As if all this bodily harm were not enough, Jesus suffered intense emotional pain. He was handed over to the authorities through betrayal by a close friend. His disciples abandoned him. He was labeled a criminal. He witnessed those he came to save gleefully torment him and condemn him to death. What's worse is that Jesus suffered something of cosmic significance on the cross. During his suffering on the cross, the intimate relationship that Jesus shared with his Father was interrupted. He was made to suffer, being forsaken by the Father during the time of his greatest pain on earth. Agony upon agony, all laid upon Jesus Christ. All of this done to the perfect and blameless Son of God. All of this done so that we could be justified before God. It's no wonder we often view Good Friday with mixed emotions. Today we contemplate the loathsome fact of Jesus' crucifixion. Our many failures, from the massive to the minuscule, from the distant past to a moment ago, are forged into the spikes that held Jesus on the cross. We all have a role in his crucifixion. We may be tempted to overlook this day on which we commemorate the brutal crucifixion of our Savior as we eagerly look to Easter Sunday, when everything is made right. It is difficult to acknowledge our place alongside the Romans and Jews, as our perfect Savior was sent to the cross on our behalf. But without the cross, we are lost. Without an orthodox view of the seriousness of sin, we would fail to comprehend the necessity of Jesus' sacrificial death. And without this atonement, we would have no good news, no hope for the future of our souls, no joy in this evening commemorating such a dark day in human history. Truly, we should be mindful of the great cost Jesus paid, but it should be not limited to today by any means. Let us all resolve to spend more time in thankfulness to our great God as his plan unfolded for our justification through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. As we sing How Deep the Father's Love for Us, may we realize the veracity of the truth therein. How we all played a part in the crucifixion of Jesus, how our sins did indeed hold him upon the cross, and how his wounds have paid our ransom. Please stand.